You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome to the Lorehounds, your guides to Garothan's memories. I'm John, the sec unit with a plan.
And I'm Alicia, here with a friendly invitation to talk through the murder of your colleagues and destruction of your only means of escape and foreign objects, episode 8 of Apple TV's Murderbot.
Spoilers for the first 8 episodes we haven't watched ahead on our screeners. We have done some of the reading, as we've mentioned before, but no spoilers for anything that hasn't happened in the show.
Alicia. I finished the second book, by the way.
Oh, you finished the second book?
Mm-hmm.
Was it good?
Yes, yes. And there's a character who's introduced that everybody loves, and now I love that character too.
Okay, all right.
But I have thoughts about, I can bring them up after the season finale, but I have thoughts about how they might change it for this show, for season two.
All right, I'm in. We can do a little post, maybe a post-credits spoilery thing where you can tell me about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming that season one will end in the same place as the book, and then it'll be okay to talk about.
Okay. Well, we have this episode 8, Foreign Objects, at 23 minutes. What do you want to tell me about this title? You have a note here?
Just that it's, so Foreign Object, I was thinking about, what does the title mean? Well, I guess it's the cloth stuck in Garothan's leg is a foreign object also, obviously, but I also thought it's kind of how Garothan and Murderbot see themselves in the group as the foreign object.
Yeah, and also in each other's heads, right? They're the foreign object in each other's heads.
True, true.
It's pretty fun. True.
This was a good week for hashtag Garabot.
Oh my God. They are one. That was actually Murderbot asking Garothan, why don't you love me?
Why don't you love me? Oh. That was so awkward. But yeah, so I think Paul and Chris Weitz have been doing a really good job with the writing on this. And this was Aurora Guerrero again. But I was just thinking, you know, I was rewatching it this morning, and I just think they really nailed the humorous beats.
Yeah, I agree. I laughed out loud a couple times. It was good. They're really getting the tone of the show right.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this every episode, I feel like it's my new favorite. My only complaint is that I want them to be done being suspicious of Murderbot. I'm ready for that part to be over.
But wouldn't you still be suspicious of Murderbot? Like, if you found out that your android was calling itself Murderbot, would you?
And killed 37 people.
57.
57. Sorry. yeah, no, I mean, it's fair, of course. But also, Murderbot has every single time put itself in danger or even shot itself in the chest to protect them. And they know about the combat override module. I was really glad that it said it could have been a combat override module. I was thinking about that the whole time when I was reading the book, but they don't say it in the first book.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, I hadn't considered that it was a combat override module. I thought Murderbot had just gotten murderous.
Hmm. Well, I guess that question is still up in the air.
Yeah, and Murderbot did not tell them why it calls itself Murderbot.
No, just that
that's not
that.
Why. Yeah.
Yeah. Murderbot needs to be more forthcoming, but that is not Murderbot's strongest trait.
No, No. Just Murderbot's strongest is just running into the room and yelling.
I have a plan.
I have a plan. That was good. That was good. Yeah, I really like this episode too. I still think episode 6 is my favorite of the season, but that's not to say that the other episodes aren't all great. Mm-hmm. I thought this was a great one too. There's not been a bad episode yet.
No.
And that's really good for a season one of a show. I mean, a lot of season ones take a minute to get themselves together. This one didn't. This one jumped right in. I guess it has to with 22-minute episodes.
Yeah, but it's also because it's based on, it's short episodes, but because it's based on, you know, a short novella, there's still room to expand. So I really love how they fleshed out all of the characters.
Right. And people, I saw people on Reddit going like, it's too short. And then somebody was like, the novel is short. The novella is short.
It's literally 100 pages.
Yeah. Well, anything else on hot takes before we dive into the plot?
No, let's get into the Sanctuary Smile.
All right. Tell me all about it.
I loved this cold open with Murderbot checking in on its favorite show, Sanctuary Moon, during the dramatic moment when it's revealed that the navigation bot has apparently killed its human lover, or is accused thereof. The new captain says its memory has been wiped and is now completely under his control, but it turns out the navbot was faking subservience. It turns on the new captain, killing him and any crew members who get in its way, as the captain stabs it in the torso in turn. The show is interrupted with Flight Officer Hordoop Sklansh cowering, waiting to learn his own fate. So I guess we're supposed to understand at the end that actually Clark Gregg's character killed or forced her, or sorry, it, the navbot, to kill the John Cho captain character.
I think that's true, or otherwise Murderbot would be like, that's a fucking lie the minute that happened.
Because, yeah, the navbot said, you inducted me into this hideous religion called love. You took away the only human who has ever shown me kindness. So the navbot's definitely blaming Clark Gregg. I don't know what his character name is.
Yep. The evil, you know.
The evil captain. Yeah. It's good captain and evil captain.
Yep. And I do love the hair on, I always think of him as Kenneth. What's his name?
Right. Kenneth from 30 Rock. Jack McBrayer.
Yeah. He's got great hair and always brings a lightness to anything he's in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And Clark Gregg's sideburns too. We should call them sideburns. Or what do you call mutton chops?
Yeah. Those are some quality mutton chops. They're like
foot-long mutton chops.
You can only get them done at Subway.
Yeah. I like how they're using this Sanctuary Moon, these inserts to, they're showing a lot more, they're developing more of the Sanctuary Moon story than is developed in the books. And they're using it to show, to mirror, you know, like this is what people are seeing in the entertainment feeds where bots jailbreak and go crazy and kill everyone. And this is where the fear is coming from.
And we know that some of them, at least on this crew, have watched enough of it to quiz Murderbot on a deep cut.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Pinley and Rotty definitely are watching this show.
Right. Pinley and Rotty. The couple we didn't know we needed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to get to that. I think that, I don't know. I guess the question is it wise to control a dangerous entity like that, or is it immoral? And I think Preservation Ox would land on the side of immoral, except for Garothan, who would be like, maybe it's wise.
Garothan he's a really interesting character, because like they really amped up the empathy for him this episode later on. In a couple ways, but before this, he's been the most unlikable one, right? Mm-hmm. He's been the one who's always suspicious to the point of not being a team player almost.
Yeah. I think that they do similar in the books, but I like that. Yeah, that they've emphasized in the show how the parallels between him and Murderbot.
It's funny. I've been reading a lot of Isaac Asimov, especially the robot series.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm sure you're familiar with Isaac Asimov's three laws of robotics.
Yeah.
There's a whole plot point in one of the books that I read right before I watched this episode. I finished the second book in that robot series, The Naked Sun. And there's a whole thing where they're like shocked that somebody's trying to like get past the first law, because like no way a robot could hurt anybody. It would break, it literally breaks their brains if they hurt or even think that they hurt a human accidentally. Right. And I'm like, there's no way Murderbot has a positronic brain, because Murderbot doesn't care at all. It was just funny to go from that to Murderbot. Like, I was like, yeah. Oh my God.
Well, I mean, if you're having cruelty modeled for you, why would you not mimic it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the thing with Asimov's robots is literally like, if a human is harmed in front of them, their positronic brain can't handle it and they just go haywire.
Okay. Okay, Asimov.
They will like shut down.
Super realistic.
Like,
yeah.
I was like, Murderbot, like, you wouldn't survive in Asimov's universe.
No, that's true. Murderbot would have a different name. What would Murderbot be called in Asimov's world?
Chillbot. I don't know. TV bot.
Oh, jinx. So, speaking of Murderbot's favorite show, I have to say that I kind of clapped in glee with this whole exchange at the end where, in the Sanctuary Moon episode, where the Navbot, what's his face? Bad Captain. What do we call him? Evil Captain Mutton Chops. He says, a properly functioning machine does what it's told. Smile. And then Wanda DeWise gives the most chilling smile. And the music goes like full horror music. And then she's right before she squishes his head a la Kingpin in Daredevil Born Again. She says, smile. I was like, yay. That was definitely for the women.
Yeah. Yeah. And I see your reference to Kingpin here. Yeah. I see it. I see it. I did watch it finally. So now.
Oh, you did. Okay. What'd you think?
Yep. Oh, I thought it was great. It did feel like half a season, but that was, right. I know that was a production thing and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a great first half of a season.
Right. Exactly. And we know the second half is coming and, right. Now we're all set up and we're through that awkwardness. So of switching, showrunners, et cetera.
Yep. Should be good.
Yeah. Yep. So I guess that's the end of some of the Clark Gregg and John Cho guest appearances, although I guess there's always rewatches and flashbacks, but I think we're going to see more of Jack McBrayer. What do you think?
I think so, but I'm curious, like, what is this? This feels very Doctor Who, that they're like stuck in this loop forever now. I mean, I wonder, I'm kind of invested in this. I kind of want a spinoff of just Sanctuary Moon.
I know. Just if you made full Sanctuary Moon episodes, I would watch them.
Right? Like, it does feel very, like, it's the same way I feel about Doctor Who. Like, when it's like pizza. It's like, when it's good, it's good. When it's bad, it's good. And I would watch that with Sanctuary Moon. This seems like the kind of thing I would get into.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess, so they're skirting the event horizon. The event horizon is the point which when you, so a wormhole is theoretically basically two black holes tied to, like a black hole and a white hole, I guess, because you're spit out the other end. But anyway, so you would enter through a black hole, and event horizon is the edge over which you cross where you can't return, you know, you're sucked into the black hole after the event horizon. So now they're, I guess, like, it sounds like they are, like, on or just outside the event horizon, stuck in an orbit forever.
Doesn't sound very fun.
Hope they have renewable food and resources.
Hope they have their own Sanctuary Moon to watch.
That's true.
Plenty of media. Although you have to ask yourself, like, if they're stuck in it forever and time isn't happening, do they age? Do they need to eat? Do they, like, all this? Man, well, why are we hyper-analyzing this?
No, but it's true, because, like, think of Interstellar, where they go to that planet where...
Well, I never watched Interstellar.
Oh, okay. Then you won't get this reference, but other
people
will.
I haven't seen most movies. Do you know what I've started doing, though? I've started... Mm. I think I'm going to go down the list of the IMDb, like, top 250 and try to, like, watch them all from the top. I think that would be a good like film education course for me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not a, or, in our chat on the Discord, in the general movies chat, Marilyn and Keith shared some links to the New York Times was just doing their top 100 movies of the last 25 years. So that's a good list to go through. I think
I know, but then you and David are going to still make fun of me for not watching all these like 50s to 70s movies.
I mean, we'll work on it. We'll work on it.
Mostly David. David makes fun of me more than you do.
Yeah, I mean, you have so many gems to discover. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a blast. Once I get my nose out of Asimov books, I will do
that. You just need your movie hyperfixation phase.
That's right. That's right. All right, well, we can talk about this. Garothan has a piece of his suit still lodged in his leg from when he was shot. And he's looking very, very bad. But the recordings from the habitat cameras show that the enemy group, Grey Chris, has left the Preservation Ox base. In fact, knowing they were being recorded, their leader left a message for them saying that they will leave their base unmolested and inviting them to parlay the next day. So against Murderbot's advice, the group returns to the habitat.
I love Rati so much as a character, and I love the way that the actor portrays him with like this puppy dogish enthusiasm. I was thinking, yeah. I sneak in kind of like stealth, only this time I take an even larger gun. Like, Rati, do you not remember last time? Are you with me? Come on. And I really hope that by the end of this season, Murderbot lets Rati be its friend because he is trying so very hard.
He left him hanging. I mean, I think it was a good decision to leave him hanging. Mm. Like that follows the first law of robotics is don't encourage this stupid man
to arm himself. Yeah, an even bigger one. This time he'll get more than like a mark in the forehead.
There was a bit in the Asimov book I just read where the robot partner of the main human goes, when he gets threatened, he goes, I couldn't allow you to kill me because I know that would cause you distress, even though you don't think so now. And I was like, that's so funny. That felt very Murderbot, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely. I love that Rati's nickname, Seki, is sticking for Murderbot. Even Mensa called.
For now.
Right. I don't think, though, that Garothan likes Gugu, the new nickname.
No, but I don't think Seki's going to stick for long because they've already started calling him Murderbot.
That's true. Yeah. Well, what did Rati say? I'm trying to be respectful.
Yeah, exactly. It felt like somebody saying, I want to respect your pronouns, but like call you Murderbot.
Yes, exactly. Well, that is Murderbot's chosen name, but Murderbot did say that's private. So,
you know, if your friend came up to you and said, you know, I'm choosing a new name, Murderer, that's going to be my new name. Would you respect it?
I mean, sure. Like, isn't there, I feel like there are examples where people choose really badass names and it doesn't mean, I don't know.
Not going to look good in the police report, though.
It's not going to look good in the police report. That's fine. Yeah. Yeah. If you call yourself Puppy Killer and then my dog turns up dead, I don't know.
Right. It's not going to be great. Not the best look.
Right. So Grey Chris, finally we can say the name Grey Chris. We knew this name from the book, that's the name of the third group. So far they know there's some kind of mining company. And yeah, we had that. We'll talk more about the Rati Pinley thing later, but we had that exchange there where Rati's like, damn, you're good. And Pinley gives a smile that just, I don't know, it shows. I feel like Pinley doesn't return Rati's feelings, but enjoys the appreciation.
I do think, I'm not saying like jealousy in like an open way, but like it can't feel good that you're in a throuple and it's presumed by everybody that like, the person is more into it for your partner. That cannot feel good. And so any point in the other direction feels good to Pinley because it feels like validation, even if Pinley is not interested in Rati romantically.
Right. I guess so. I mean, Pinley, I think Rati makes Pinley feel seen.
Yeah. I think that's right. And Pinley doesn't want to be taken for granted.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But okay. So we meet the Grey Chris leader, and that's the Grey Chris leader is the character who I thought maybe the BB was going to turn out to be, but clearly not. But it's the actress is Amanda Bruegel, and it was driving me crazy for a second. She's from Handmaid's Tale for anyone else who was having that itch in their brain.
Yeah, you know, I never watched an episode of Handmaid's Tale, and I probably never will because I heard it did not end that well.
I haven't watched the last season, but I think it's very worth it for when it's good. Or it's worth it to at least watch the first season.
I'm not going to.
Okay, well,
I get the point.
I'm gonna.
I'm living today. I know what it, what the point is.
Okay, well, but yeah. So, what did you think of this proposal? We destroyed your beacon. You killed our colleague. Let's call it a wash. Delphal's beacon's also destroyed. So you're not getting off this planet unless you talk to us. It's all been a huge misunderstanding. I mean, I guess we do know this is setting up something from the book, so we have to tread carefully, but if you were them, how would you feel in this situation?
Oh, I don't think I'd trust them at all. I mean, they literally tried to kill them several times, right? Like, this is not somebody you can trust. Like, oh, you know, now everything's fine. Like, why would you trust them at all?
Yeah, I mean, but at the same time, I guess it is key, and this is not in the book, that Mensa said that if we wait it out for a month, then maybe they'll come because we didn't, you know, come back and return their stuff. So the company might come looking for their transport and stuff. Otherwise, what do? They're literally, they don't have the beacons to call for help.
Yeah, I'm not saying that they shouldn't work with them, but you should keep them very far, you know, at arm's reach.
Right.
You should not be, like, having them handle anything that has to do with your safety.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, the group is feeling cocky after they think they handled themselves pretty well in that last punch-up.
Yeah. I loved Murderbot being like, no, you're very unlikely to survive this. And they're like, well, we gotta do something. Like, yeah, maybe not that, though.
And then the punch to the gut to Rati, especially not you. What the hell did I do?
He literally knocked himself out. No, he looks in a mirror that shows his worst enemy.
Aw. Aw, poor Rati. I just want to give him a hug.
I love him. I think he's a great comic relief character. Mm-hmm.
I'm not surprised that Mensa did not say he was next leader.
Right. Yeah, exactly. He's like, yeah, let's go in. Let's go in, drop kick everybody. I feel like that's him.
Yeah. Yeah. It's more about his fantasy about being a badass than actually putting in the work to do it like Pin Lee has done.
Right. Right. Well, you want to take a break and then we'll finish the episode.
Great.
Hey everyone, David here. Wanted to tell you about a company that makes some really beautiful Middle Earth inspired products. Actually, I wish I had discovered OSHA slings when my daughter was little and I was using a lot of different baby slings and carriers. They sent me one of their Ancients of Gondor Ithildan baby carriers. Honestly, the design of this carrier is cool as hell. The quality is impeccable. It's a really smart design and super easy to use. I wish I had this when I needed it. I would have loved to show off my dad nerd cred at the time. But they also sent me a really nice blanket, the Misty Mountains Throw. And now that same daughter, she monopolizes it whenever she's on the couch. It's beautiful, just the right weight. It's brushed cotton, so it's breathable and keeps us really cozy. We've been having a lot of cold weather lately, so we're always fighting over who gets to use it. A little about OSHA. They're a family-owned Scottish company. They've been handcrafting products since about 2010. Everything's ethically sourced and made in their solar-powered workshop. Check out their website. They've got a bunch of information about their sustainability practices. That's something that's really important to me. And they have this huge line of official Lord of the Rings products. They're making baby carriers, throws, scarves, mugs, tea towels, and the designs are stunning. Like, go check out the website right now. There's a link in the show notes. New customers get 10% off with the code LoreHounds. Go to oschaslings.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
We're back. Can you tell me about what's going to happen? I want you to say it because it's a funny hashtag.
Hashtag Gurubot is born. So they need to operate on Garathan's leg and fast, but he refuses painkillers because that's how his former addiction began. However, he and Murderbot realize that Murderbot can link to his brain to block his pain receptors. This is successful, as is the surgery, but Murderbot is thrown by the chaos of human thought and accidentally speaks Garathan's thoughts about Mensa, "Why can't you love me back?" out loud. Garathan, in turn, digs around in Murderbot's head and finds the traces of video of the massacre that Murderbot's been pondering itself, and Garathan learns that SecUnit calls itself Murderbot and shares all of this with the group. Everyone's freaked out. So, do you think it's fair? Is it fair for them to be freaked out at this point?
I think so. And I have to say, I really enjoyed that Garathan's like, "All right, first things first, stop me from dying. Second thing, before you unplug, I'm going to spy on everything."
Just
in your
a second,
head.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great. That was great. I was kind of confused, though, like, Murderbot just was able to just unplug. Like, have you ever unplugged the USB without prompting your computer? It's not happy about it.
Yeah, but to be honest, I do it all the time.
it's usually fine, but yeah, as long as you're not like writing something or
exactly
or
in the middle of something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at the same time, it is true that this is like, can you imagine if someone could get into your head and hear the private most thoughts that you think about yourself and then tells the rest of the group that, like, it is private, even if it's a little scary, or especially because it sounds a little scary.
I would not like that. I don't want to live in the X-Men world.
With Charles Xavier.
Yeah, exactly. And doesn't Jean Grey also do that?
True. Yeah, there's others too. Yeah.
Yeah. I will say I was both laughing and sad at "Why Can't You Love Me Back?" I loved when he goes, "Did I just say something?" No. Murderbot just shuts him right down.
He did not say something. Murderbot said his thoughts, and Mensa definitely knew what it was about. It was like, awkward.
Yeah, that's sad. And Mensa, I mean, we heard her raise her voice this episode for the first time, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, she kind of apologized to Rati after that, but yeah. Okay, I have a question about what Pinley said, where they were talking, where basically they were confronting Murderbot, and Murderbot says that, it has killed people, but it was protecting clients, that's not murder. And Pinley said, debatable. Is killing people to protect your client murder?
It depends if you're asking on like a legal standpoint or a moral standpoint, right? Like, if you're intentionally killing somebody from a moral standpoint, unless it's in self-defense, then yeah.
I mean, but presumably that's what Murderbot means. Like, well, I guess Labibi, was that murder?
Yeah, defense of others. Yeah.
So this surgery, I think, was in some ways ickier than the back surgery at the prior episode. What do you think?
This surgery was pretty icky. I was able to watch it though, and I was not able to watch the spinal surgery. So I'm going to disagree with you. I think the spinal surgery was way ickier.
Okay.
There's something about opening the back that like goes, ah.
I don't know. This one also, the gas gangrene, oof. And I did have to look it up, and then I saw a whole bunch of pictures online, and oh my God.
But Why did you do that?
I needed to know.
Why in the world would you do that? Well, that's on you. That's not on the show.
But it is, so basically gas gangrene, it causes like, I guess a gas production that causes gangrene and sepsis. So basically it would play out, you know, the person would go into toxic shock like we saw happening with Garathin, and it can be potentially fatal, often leads to losing a limb or something like that. So they needed to surgery fast. Bara Dwaj, it's pointed out, Murderbot points out, she's not a medical doctor, but she's now, this is her second surgical procedure, and she seems to have a natural calling there.
Yeah. Can I ask you though, how was Garathin just like fine right after it was removed? Like, that's not how sepsis works.
Yeah, but especially because Murderbot disconnected, so the pain should have come back of him.
Right. Like, there's no reason that I don't understand why was Garathin just like fine? Like, infection didn't go away because you removed the cause.
Right. Well, I mean, I guess then it's easy to treat. Now that they don't have the foreign object in there.
Yeah, but that's still going to take, like 2 weeks for him to.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, maybe we say that they have super antibiotics now.
Sure, but still, Garathin should have been in pain after the pain blocking was removed with Murderbot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe Garathin can hold in residual pain, but can't hold in when you're actually inside his leg.
I feel like Murderbot did take a little bit of sadistic glee, though, of just unannounced turning off Garathin's sight as well.
Yeah. Oh, you shouldn't see this. Yeah, I do think that was a little bit a little bit mean.
Oh, did you? Yeah, without telling him.
Yep.
Hmm. Yeah, but it was, but leading into this situation, you know, we want the bromance between them. They started to notice that they were sharing a way of thinking. They were finishing each other's sentences. But then, Gugu was mean to Seki. He's like, maybe you're just defective. I feel like, though, when he said that, he was talking about himself. He's projecting.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that. I mean, Gorobot, you have me saying all these things now. Garathin is definitely not the most secure person and definitely projects that insecurity on other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess we now know that if we find ourselves living in this distant future, which is, I guess, where I guess Murderbot, the series, is set in our own distant future, is my understanding. But yeah, then we know that we can learn about medicine from Med Center, our gala. It seems to be a solid show.
I've seen like 5 seasons of House. I could definitely do surgery.
Well, we've got David watching The Pit, so I just need to catch up on my medical dramas.
Yeah, he can rank The Pit in his top 10, but I think I'm going to stay out of it because, I don't know, House is the only medical drama I like, and that's because it's kind of more of a Sherlock show than a medical show.
Mm-hmm. If I were to, I used to try with, for instance, Grey's Anatomy, which I can't believe is still running. But it's not necessarily my thing. I like Scrubs, I like Scrubs, but that was about the characters and the humor and stuff.
Yeah, that's a mockumentary. That's more like The Office.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't watch a real show about running a paper company either.
I guess not. Yeah, but if I were to watch something, I would watch The Pit because I hear such good things about it, but there's so much to catch up on.
Yeah, anyway. I know. Maybe I'll watch it. You've kind of inspired me to watch The Pit now, as much as you just said you're not going to.
All right, well, if you watch it and like it, let me know, and then, maybe I'll give it a shot.
We can do a What You Watchin'.
Yeah, absolutely. I think David would like to do a What You Watchin' for The Pit.
He likes to, he's really big on that format now,
Yeah.
He wants to do it all. I did one with him the other day. I don't even remember the name of the show. It was very quick.
Department Q?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Avenue Q would say like
yes,
a raunchy Sesame Street. Okay, for anyone who doesn't know, it's like a raunchy Sesame Street musical.
Oh, I know Avenue Q. Yeah. Yeah, I never saw it, but I listened. I discovered the soundtrack when I was in high school, and you could imagine that 16-year-old me was delighted by the soundtrack. Mm.
It opened when I was living in New York. So when I was living in New York, then I was really on top of all the Broadway plays, and now people talk about plays in Broadway plays in New York. I'm like, I've never even heard of anything anymore. Anyway, we get them like we're just finally getting Hadestown this summer here. So
I heard that's behind. Good.
I've heard it's good too. I mean, I've listened to the soundtrack because you know that Donald Finn, Matt from Wheel of Time, played one of the characters in the London run.
Oh, really? That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Is he a good singer? I guess he must
Very be. Good. Very good. Very, okay. Like, exceptional. Yeah.
I was going to say we have to get him singing next season, then I remembered.
SaveWatt.com. SaveWatt.com is up to, 190,000 signatures, and there's been a banner across the sky in Culver City where the Amazon studios are. There's been billboards around the world in major cities, so making a big splash, and people aren't ready to give up yet.
And remember, folks, hope is never mere, even when it is meager.
And then Wheel of Time is saying to Amazon, why can't you love me back? Why can't you love me back? Okay. So Garathan said, I love the others the way one loves their own children, but you I love as my equal, my better. Is that romantic love, I guess? Or is it like confusing for romantic love? Admiration for romantic love.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it sort of, I've talked about how like there's different kinds of objectification, right? And there's objectification of people as like I want to own that object, and there's objectification of people as like I'm going to see you on a pedestal, and I want to admire that object, but I don't want to admire you.
Yeah,
and so yeah, I think that's this kind of in a way.
I think like with the sweet and bitter game that we saw last episode, I think that's kind of what they're trying to tell us, that Garathan can't see. Well, finally, Garathan did say, maybe you're a bit naive, but Garathan doesn't want to see Mensa as an entire person with flaws and all.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. You know, doesn't want to finish the, we can talk about it.
Right. Yeah. So
but maybe we should talk about it the next maybe.
should we talk about a change of plans?
Sure. Murderbot goes on a long walk to process its feelings, and the rest of the team talks through the Gray Chris situation. Pinley is certain that the company wouldn't put them in danger because it would be bad for the company. So Gray Chris must be a separate entity. Garathan reminds them that someone may have taken a bribe to cover up a third group coming to the planet. Rati's best guess is they are looking for alien remnants like the globe of wind the centipede megafauna were drawn to at the start of the season. Deltfall must have gotten in their way. Their choices are to flee and wait for the company to come looking for them eventually, or face Gray Chris and try to negotiate a way out.
So, yeah, we have Murderbot storms off. And
he's such
only
a teenager.
Yeah, and Murderbot's like, well, yeah, I'm stuck here if I'm not with the group. But I mean, but I understand that reaction at that point. And here we see like only Mensa barely, which is surprising, and Bardwaj and Rati are sad to see Murderbot go. And Mensa, this is when Mensa snaps at Rati and says, "It can do whatever it wants. It's not your pet." What did you think of?
I thought it was, I was like, was that even her voice? Because you haven't heard her raise her voice before. You know, people's voices have different timbres when they're raised and when they're, she's been kind of doing a vocal fry the whole time. I was shocked that she yelled, but I get it. Like, she's stressed and everybody else is just kind of being children about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Can I just say about Murderbot storming off? I wish that we could have had Nathan Fielder putting some music on, because I feel like that would have fit. Wake me up inside.
And then we just see Nathan Fielder standing there with his laptop sling.
I love the laptop sling. It looks like a fanny pack on him. And it's perfect.
This is a rehearsal reference for anyone who doesn't know.
Everybody's got to watch the rehearsal.
Yeah.
It's the most unique TV I've seen in my entire life.
We still have to do a one shot for that, even if it's
funny. I agree.
Yeah, but the alien remnants, we heard before that they can be exploited for financial gain. So I guess that's a good bet that when people start getting murdery, it's often because the money's in play.
Yep. Yeah, and you can always follow the money to figure out people's motives.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Especially in corporation rim. Yeah, that's yep. The thing is, like, Preservation Ox is trying to be better. And we know, I would love to hear more about the other groups from outside the corporation rim and how, if they're similar or different, or, you know, I've only read the first two books, so I don't know if they go forward in, like, maybe trying to team up, you know, because that's often, if you have these, we know that the corporation rim is trying to turn whatever other groups are out there against each other. We've heard that in the show. And even if they decide to team up, if they're all uniquely different, you know, if they're all independent for different reasons, it's going to be hard to align themselves.
Yeah.
Get some Wheel of Time politicking.
Wheel of Time. You're gonna bring the Wheel of Time into every show now, right? You're gonna make it live on as particles and everything else.
This is not a new feature.
That's true.
Speaking of Wheel of Time, we have a throuple breakup. So.
Oh my god! Well, we have more than throuples in Wheel of Time. We have like quadruples.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess also in Murderbot, we don't know. We know that Mensa has multiple spouses, but we don't know the whole situation. But here, Rati professes love to Pinley. And I'm like, I kind of thought everyone knew that was a dynamic. But I guess the thing is, at the end of the day, Murderbot knew that was the dynamic and told us in the first episode. But the humans are, A, not watching each other all the time on surveillance, and B, a bit more oblivious to these things sometimes.
Oh, yeah? Okay, yeah, I see what you're saying there.
Hmm. Right. I did feel for Arata, though, where it was just like, I am in love with you, Pinley, not you, Arata.
Like, yeah.
Slapping her hand away.
I felt for Arata, but also, like, Arata was, like, completely oblivious to Pinley's feelings, right? So So I don't think Arata was being a very good partner this season.
No.
In general. And I think Pinley is owed a little atta girl.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's also Pinley, I think is unintentionally leading Rati on a little bit just because they enjoy the admiration. And Arata, like Pinley and Arata, we don't know how long they've been together, probably a while. And they're like in that settled place where maybe Arata seems to have been taking Pinley for granted a bit.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah. So
and
I can
maybe they were trying to shake it up with the thruple. And then, I don't know, maybe Rati and Pinley will end up sailing off into the sunset.
I don't think Pinley has those feelings. I think Pinley just enjoys being admired, which is fair.
Who doesn't, right? You know, everybody likes being admired.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think Pinley and Arata are end game at the end of the day, whether or not anyone else gets involved. I don't think it's going to be Rati. I hope Rati meets somebody else.
Yeah.
Who feels wouldn't the same way. Yeah.
It's going to be Rati and Murderbot.
Oh, Rati wishes.
Yeah, right. Murderbot's going to go, ew.
Yeah, no. Arata says, this is really bad. We need Murderbot back. And then Murderbot says, and then I realized, even if they were dead, I didn't have to be. I could write my own storyline. The rogue sec unit who betrayed its clients. And then Murderbot bursts back into the habitat. I have a plan. So this is one, again, where it's like the last couple episodes have been going away from like adding more to the book, you know, adding more in between stuff. And now this, I have a plan, seems to be putting us right back on track for the end of the book, which is two more episodes.
Yeah, and they're clearly doing some kind of like subversion where they're trying to make it sound like Murderbot's coming back to kill them all.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think Murderbot would shout, "I have a plan," if Murderbot wanted to kill them all. Would just go in and start shooting.
Yeah, this is, like I said, I'm done with us being suspicious of Murderbot.
Yeah.
I think Murderbot has proven itself plenty by now.
But I love that everybody gets scared by it. And then like, I have a plan. Very good.
Yeah.
That's why it's so good. It's because it kind of is playing on the tropes that Murderbot has learned. Like what if you knew somebody who all of its experience in human interaction was from a soap opera? And they're really awkward. And then so it plays on it. It makes you kind of re-examine how silly a soap opera is too.
Right.
It's very funny. It's great. It's great writing.
Yeah. Yeah. And just the dynamics of, I mean, I think every cast member is just playing their roles so well, and the characters are all distinct and they feel real because they have like specific little details of you know, their strengths and their foibles. And yeah, I love this crew of space hippies.
Yeah. It's been a fun season so far. We only have a couple episodes left.
I know.
And sad. I think the last episode is going to come out the same night as Foundation. They're going to do an overlap to try to get people in on it. Should be fun. I think they did that with Silo and Severance, right?
They did. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. It makes sense. It's like, hey, we still have sci-fi going. Always a sci-fi show here.
Apple is like the king of sci-fi right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what happened, but Apple is like, has all the good sci-fi on it.
Yeah. That's why people are like, but you know what you don't have? Fantasy.
All right.
But yeah, no, I mean, I think that there's an interest and there's a niche and there's a natural, like, Apple users, they want people to buy their hardware, which I'm never going to do, but I will keep investing in these shows, you know. I appreciate also the accessibility. Like, it was when I was on the Doom Minute podcast. They were talking about watching Dune on two different services, and the Apple version had better subtitles. I'm like, I believe that because they put more human effort into things like that. But you're not going to make me use your hardware. Sorry.
I think they make the best laptops. I really do.
It's the software.
They do make the best laptops.
Yeah, actually, it's the software that's the problem. That says like you have to do things only one way. I'm like, nope.
Yeah, I hear you. But, all right. Well, let's stop debating Apple stuff because I like it and I like PC stuff. I'm recording on a PC right now, but I also have a Mac laptop because it works really well for me.
That's fair.
You know?
That's fair.
All right. Well, two more episodes of Murderbot coming. If you want to talk with us about it, go to lorehounds@thelorehounds.com and send us an email. Or go to the Discord server, which is linked in the link tree in the show notes. And what else we got going on this feed?
Ironheart started. So as I guess this is probably, this is coming out today. Ironheart episodes 1 through 3 is coming out tomorrow. Sean and I are recording that later today. And also we're recording to come out on Monday, the 28 years later episode breakdown, which is now officially my second favorite film of the year, after Sinners. And we also did an episode in the subscriber feed that was looking back on 28 days and 28 weeks later, where we talked about zombies in media and culture and then the meaning and how this series upended all of that. And now we're going to talk about the new film, which, spoiler alert, I loved. What else is going on the Supercast and Patreon feeds?
Very cool. By the way, I wanted to mention Silmarillion Stories is going to be a little late coming this month. It's Marilyn and I are going to be covering Foundation together, so we're going to get ahead on that with thanks to Apple screeners. So we're going to get ahead on that, and we're going to postpone. She's going to be on the next Silmarillion Story, so that'll probably come out late July, early August maybe. So kind of skipping a month, but that's all right. Okay. The Silmarillion will still be there. It's been there for 40 years. But we have a ton on the Supercast Patreon feed. We've got a ton of extra content for things like Andor and Severance. We've got the Sony Spider Villain versus Power Ranking Funeral that you did.
Yeah, that was a fun one. I defended Morbius and Bats.
And Second Breakfast in Elevensies, we just did the Wes Anderson. I'm calling it the auteur spotlight because it sounds fancy.
Yeah.
And he would approve. We did, yeah, exactly. Who wouldn't want to be called an auteur? That's such a cool title.
Right.
We did Isle of Dogs versus the Royal Tenenbaums. That was a lot of fun. That was a good recording.
Yeah. Well, I guess Val Kilmer would also like to be seen as an artiste. So it's Val Kilmer's artiste corner for July.
All right. I'm excited. We have to post a poll for that. So, yeah, and check out our affiliates. Nevermind the Music has weekly podcasts on music and psychology. Very, very cool conversations. If you're not listening to Nevermind the Music and you like what we do here, please go check them out. Same thing goes for Radioactive Ramblings, who's doing Fallout lore ahead of the new season in the winter. And Properly Howard is currently doing a season on Kevin Bacon. It's 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Bacon Wrapped, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, and what do you have going on Wool Shift Dust and Star Wars canon?
We're just kicking off the Dune series on Wool Shift Dust, and Star Wars canon timeline is High Republic, and I'm going to be doing a rewatch of The Acolyte in chronological order, so starting with episodes 3 and 7.
Very cool.
With some stuff in between that came out, because there's new Acolyte books that came out and stuff, so.
Oh. Very cool. I didn't realize that was coming out. I haven't kept up on my Star Wars releases.
So, no, I've not given up on that show either.
That you might be stretching it a little bit with that one. I don't think that one's
coming back. Well, the thing about that one is that one is like 100% owned by, it's Star Wars, it's owned by Disney. There's no debating that.
Right,
whereas
right.
Wheel of Time is, Sony has the rights to it and can shop it around. So it's a big difference.
Well, we'll see on Wheel of Time, at least. I'm not hoping for Acolyte anymore.
No, I know. I mean, at some point, they have to kind of pick up those story threads they tease there in some form or another.
Somehow, Palpatine returned.
Well, I mean, I think the Chimera was Darth Venomous, and I want to see it.
All right. I would like to see it, too. I just don't know if we're going to get it. Maybe they'll do an animated thing at some point. Tales of the High Republic.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, you want to thank people?
Sure. And I also just want to say that all this week I was a guest on the Dune Minute podcast. We are talking about 5 minutes in the middle of Dune Part 2, specifically where a few different things happen, but also where we have Alia and Jess, like baby Alia, the sentient fetus, and Jessica and Paul all chatting and worm riding and fun stuff like that. So you can find that on the Dune Minute podcast feed. Okay, I will thank the server boosters, and you want to thank the lore masters?
Sure.
Thank you, Discord server boosters, Aaron K, Tiller the Thriller, Dork of the Ninjas, Duve 71, Athena Agilea, Tina Listu, Nancy M, Ghost of Partition, and Radioactive Richard. And did you see the announcement that there's going to be new benefits that we can use server boosts on?
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Now I haven't seen this. What are the new benefits?
It was something about two things about like assigning roles, but it seems like this is a new, like you can level up now, and then you can use any surplus boosts on extra benefits. Three per benefit.
All right. Well, I'm going to take a look at that.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you to our lore masters, Samartian, Michael G, Michelle E, Brian P, SC, Pure OH, Adam S, Nancy M, Du 71, Brian 8063, Frederick H, Sarah L, Gareth C, Matthew M, Sarah M, Andre B, Kwang Yu, Deadeye Jedi Bob, Nathan T, Alex V, Sub Zero, Aaron K, Dally V, Mothership 61, Gnarls, Kathy W., Listu, Jeffrey B., Elisa U., Neil F., Ben B., Scott F., Stephen N., Julia F., Kali S., Ilmariel, /Tim, Paul K., Bobby C., and Adrian. Thanks, everyone, and we'll see you on the next episode of Murderbot.
Bye.
The Lorehounds podcast is produced and published by The Lorehounds. You can send questions and feedback and voicemails at thelorehounds.com/contact. Get early and ad-free access to all Lorehounds podcasts at patreon.com/thelorehounds. Any opinions stated are ours personally and do not reflect the opinion of or belong to any employers or other entities. Thanks for listening.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.